he had breakfast fixed for him. And do you remember the question that he asked these seasoned fishermen when they were out in the lake and he was greeting them? Do you remember the question that he asked them? What was the question? Have you caught anything? Have you caught it? This is seasoned fishermen that he's asking. You ever have someone to work on your car and it's someone new and you don't really know if they know their business or not, and you begin to ask them questions about that? And pretty soon they understand that you're not trusting them. And they tell you, Michael, that it costs more for you to help than it will for him to do it by himself. Well, he was asking seasoned fishermen, have you caught any fish, when he already knew that they had not caught any fish because he had not allowed them to catch any fish. Are you getting it?
Amen.
And then when he tells them to throw their net on the other side, they catch a lot because that was his plan. The difference is what Jesus said. Verse 5 says, it fell into the muddy Jordan. So recovery, now listen closely, because this means so much. Recovery without an act of God would have been impossible. I want to say that again. Recovery without an act of God would be impossible. Recovery, are you hearing me today? Now you say, preacher, we got that part. Recovery without an act of God would be impossible here. Now I want to dig deep in the well because I need this message. Now all you got to do is listen. I'm preaching to myself. And I'm going to dig deep in the well because I'm preaching to myself. You just listen and maybe you'll catch. I'm going to preach to myself today because I need this so desperately. Recovery without an act of God will be impossible. I am not going to stumble on to revival. I am not going to stumble on to getting right with God in my own life just through events that normally take place. I'm not going to just stumble on to it. It's going to take an act of God in my life and yours to bring us to that place of revival in our life. Now, what does this passage have to do? I may be jumping ahead here. I better look and see where I'm at. What are the implications of something that is borrowed? Verse 5, he said it's borrowed. This is borrowed. Are you letting your mind wander now? What is it? What is it? What is the spiritual implication here? What is it that is borrowed? Now, your salvation is permanent.
Amen.
And when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live and to dwell in your heart. But I want you to know, dear friend, that you can lose your power.
Yes.
And most of you know what I'm talking about. Most of you would be able to say, along with Lanny, there's been times when I felt the power of God working in my life that I do not feel now. I'm not saying that I don't feel it now. But there has been times when I felt the power of God moving in my life that I need so desperately right now. So When Jesus enters your heart, he never leaves. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. And when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live and to dwell in you. But I think there is something else here. I think there is a filling of the Spirit of God. Now, I won't be able to preach all this message today, so I hope that you'll hang loose until we get to the end of it. But I want to correct some false doctrine about the filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do that later. And we probably won't get to it this morning. But I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit has to do with your yieldedness and obedience to Him. The Old Testament law required that if you borrowed something and lost it or broke it, you fixed it or you replaced it. When you borrowed an axe, it was for a specific task. Don't you know this is not a cheap illustration? I give over $10 for a sax hound. And you know what it is. It's an axe handle. But it doesn't have an axe head on it. And what this represents is my life without any kind of cutting edge on it. And the cutting edge is my obedience to the Spirit of God. When I have given myself to Him, then that makes the cutting edge in my life. See, I don't have anything in me to do that. There's nothing in me to make a cutting edge. Anything outside of the axe head is a show. Just putting on a show. I can put on a show. Can you? You put on a show. If I can, you can. I can put on a show. But what it would amount to is taking the axe head and trying to chop down, taking the axe handle and trying to chop down a tree with the axe handle. And without the Holy Spirit, without the power of God in our lives, without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, what you and I are doing is that we're trying to use the axe handle without a head on it. We're trying to use the axe handle without a head on it. Now you think about how futile that would be. Now you get that picture in your mind. Go out in the woods and take this axe handle and try to cut down a tree with it. And what you're going to do is bruise up the tree and probably bruise up yourself, probably hurt your hands really bad. We don't have any power in our lives without the Holy Spirit being in charge in our life. And that's what that axe head is all about. Now, what was the next thing when the guy realized that he's in a desperate situation? I think our problem is that we don't really realize how desperate we are. He realized he was in a desperate situation. Axes were not easy to come by. And he had lost the head of his axe in the muddy Jordan River. Now, he was desperate. He was desperate. You see, we think as long as we're paying the electric bill and we've got the car payment made, we're not all that desperate. We've got our emphasis in the wrong place. As long as none of our kids as long as they're not in trouble, or they're not causing us any trouble or any embarrassment, well, we've got it made. Lucky you. That's good. May not always be that way. So it has to be something else that gives me the power to live the Christian life other than me putting on a show with it or me struggling to try to do it on my own. So I have to have the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I have to have God's power in my life in order to live the life. You can't live it. You can't do it. You can't be where God wants you to be. You can't do what God wants you to do. Now I want you to notice that he realized his desperate situation. Then he told the prophet, he told the man of God. And the man of God asked him a very pointed question. Where did you lose it at? What happened in your life? What was going on when you lost it? Where were you standing at? What direction were you pointing the axe? What was going on in your life when you lost the axe head in your life? Was it that time that someone hurt your feelings and you decided not to have anything else to do with the church? You weren't going to work anymore? You weren't going to teach Sunday school? You weren't going to work in Awana? You weren't going to be a part of camp? Was it that time that you felt like that the church spent some money on something that they should have spent it on something else, and you got bent out of shape over it, and you listened to the things that the devil was saying in your on your shoulder and in your ear, and you decided, okay, I'm through with that bunch. I'm going to keep coming, but I'm going to divorce them. I'm not going to be a part of anything else that is going on. Or was it, let's dig a little deeper. Was it when you was watching the internet and a pop-up came and you decided to click on it and see what was on the other side? And then you got hooked and you couldn't get away from it and you just kept watching it? Was it that situation at the office when one of your coworkers was a little bit friendly and things weren't going so well at home and you thought it's okay to flirt a little bit? I'm not going to do anything. When was it that the axe head came off and you lost your power with God? It's awful quiet in here. The prophet said, where did it fall at? Now here is a muddy river. The Jordan was muddy. And the seminary student could have said, well, it's right in there somewhere, but it's not going to do any good. I mean, that they not any of us could swim that, and we couldn't find it if we could get down there. There is no way that we can recover it. There is just no way of recovery. Where did it fall at? Let's go back to the place where it failed, and let's correct that. Let's correct that. Let me tell you where the correction is. 1 John 1:9 says that if we'll confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's the correction. The man of God cuts the stick and he pitches it in the water and the iron swims. I had another deal here I was going to use. And the iron swam, and he said, reach out and take it. And he reached out and took it. Now, I want to ask you, why do you think that the axe head came off? Anybody got any ideas? What? Wedge was loose. Who said that? The wedge was loose. You know what that is? There's the wedge. Here's the wedge. You put your axe head on. And you put the wedge right in here. And then you drive it in. And it tightens the axe head. What do you think that might stand for spiritually? Somebody give me an example of what that might be spiritually.
Prayer.
Okay. The word. Prayer. Say it again. The Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Obedience.
The what?
Obedience.
Obedience. There's a good one. Is there any need for us to come to church and be involved in what's going on? I mean, really, is there any need of it? Does it really make any difference? Can't you just stay at home and do just as good? Could you not just go to the lake and throw out a hook this morning and be just as well off as being here? Well, there's a little verse that goes along with that. It's in Hebrews. It's called a command. And it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now listen to me closely. And so much more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? The coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. Is he coming? He's coming, folks. I think old Gabriel's done licked his lips. I think he's getting ready to blow the trumpet. I believe that we're very close. I'm going to quit right here. I want to dismiss our candidate for baptism. I understand that doing business with the Lord is a very personal thing. But I want to give you an opportunity today. If you need to come to this altar and pray, that you'll have an opportunity to do that. If you're here today and lost and you want Christ as your Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision today. And you know, I realize that you don't have to be in the church house to get saved. You can be out in the woods. You can kneel before a stump and ask Jesus to come into your heart, and he'd do that. You can be driving down the road. John Halls was driving down the road. You can be driving down the road and ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. And wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, he will do that. He's faithful. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he's very faithful to do that. If you've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you need to do that. Well, we'll give you an opportunity to come forward for that, or to join this church by letter, statement, whatever the pleasure of the church is concerning you. This is what I would like for you to join me in this morning. I really want revival. You see, the problem with me is that I can't understand my desperateness today. And even in preparing this message, I've struggled, Lord, take me back to that place, wherever I need to be. If there is something in my life that needs to be corrected, Lord, bring me back to that. Reveal that to me. And, I just have daily stuff that has to be corrected. And you do too. But Lord, if there is something that's standing in the way of the church having a revival or me having revival, if there's something that you would point out to us, point out to this congregation, that we would have it, let's stand together.